My name is Alan Wells. Those that you don't know me, I am a member of the church here, a member of this congregation. I am what they call an occasional preacher, which means that I preach occasionally. And this morning is one of those occasions. So, sharing our story. If I asked you about the last time you shared the gospel with someone, apart from James, you might, like me, have a struggle to recall that easily. But if I asked you to think about the last time you shared a story about yourself, something that happened to you, I suspect you might find it easier just to remember. The truth is that when we are with other people and talking to them, we are likely to be regularly talking about things that we do, just as they talk to us about things that they do. And this week we're wanting to think a bit more about how these stories that we tell might also include Jesus and our faith in those conversations. Now, sharing the gospel is not, that's not the whole picture of sharing the gospel. There's a place for engaging in discussion about what the Bible says about things. There's a place for engaging in theological discourse, apologetics. But some of us don't always find that sort of thing very easy. Whereas just talking about our experience of God is something that perhaps is something we feel more comfortable about doing. Because at the end of the day, Jesus Christ transformed my life is a proposition, is not a proposition to be debated. It's a statement of faith to be experienced. You can win arguments and lose hearts, and you can lose arguments and win hearts. But the great thing about sharing your story is that it's very difficult to argue with. That's not to say that it's easy or that people will get it. The more that Jesus gets included in the conversation, it's possible that it's more likely you will be regarded perhaps as weird or even worse. And there's another Bible reading today that is on the notes today where Paul tells his story when he appeared before Festus, the Roman governor, of how he had become a Christian, how he'd come to faith. Now, he was in Jerusalem at the time, and the Jews didn't really get on with what Paul was talking about. My thing seems to be giving feedback, is that right? Yeah, can I use the other mic, I think? It's just distracting me. Is that okay? No? On yellow? No? Yes, right, we're there. Okay, better. I can't hear myself now. I mean, I can't hear the feedback. So Paul was in Jerusalem, and he had been dragged out of the temple because he'd been saying things the Jews didn't really want to hear. And he'd been dragged out by the mob. He was arrested by the Romans. And in chapter 22 of the Acts, it says they listened to him until this point, but then they raised their voices and said, "Away with such a fellow from the earth, for he is not fit to live." Later, he went before the Roman governor and Herod Agrippa, who was the ruler over northern Palestine, and again he had to give account of himself. And Festus' response, the Roman governor's response, was, "Paul, you are beside yourself. Much learning is driving you mad." Agrippa's response was actually more interesting. That said, "You almost persuade me to become a Christian." Now, I hope that when we're sharing our own stories, we won't get dragged and mobbed in quite the same way that Paul had, but it's possible, but I hope we won't. But nonetheless, we may feel rejection, we may feel ridicule, and that's perfectly understandable. But I've been thinking about this. Our testimony, our experience
and take on life has just as much validity as everyone else's. And sometimes, because it's not actually the norm for people to talk about faith in this post-Christian culture, it can actually be more intriguing or interesting to some people, as long as we try to avoid it coming across as preachy, as holier than thou. We can't wait to be perfect, I don't believe, before we can share our story. But we do need to recognise that we share it in humility, and as Tony Campolo says famously, as one beggar showing another beggar how and where to get the bread. I have a colleague at work who I now regard as a friend. He's called Muhammad. He is a fairly devout Muslim. He does his daily prayers. He keeps all the various fasts. And last year, during Ramadan, I started talking to him one day, and we got talking about fasting. And I asked him questions about fasting and how he got on with it and how he managed it, particularly at work during the day. And then we got on to talking about Jesus and what Jesus said about fasting and my own experience, which I have to say was pretty limited in comparison to Muhammad's. But he was fascinated to become a conversation about something that was so important to him at work and find someone who had some understanding, although from a different faith, of what this was about. So Muhammad asked if we could meet up for lunch. And most weeks since that time, one day a week, Muhammad and I meet for lunch. And what I find particularly fascinating is that I can be sharing what I believe is the Christian biblical view of something. And Muhammad says, yeah, I don't want to know that. I want to know what you believe. I want to know what your experience is. And it's amazing because it's such a wonderful, easy opportunity then just to share my own faith stories in a non-threatening way, just as I ask Muhammad about his. Now, my prayer is that over time, Muhammad will come to a relationship in faith with Jesus. I'm under no illusion that would be culturally an enormous step with huge consequences. But in any event, I really just want the best for Muhammad, and part of that best for Muhammad is just wanting him to know Jesus, and therefore that's a natural thing I want to do as I speak with him. It's not a conditional relationship. I don't just meet him or have time with him because I want him to become a Christian, but that is something I pray for and earnestly desire. And it all started with a discussion about fasting or fasting. Now, in the story today concerning the woman at the well, I'm interested that Jesus started his interaction with this Samaritan woman with the one thing they had in common. He was a man, she was a woman. He was a Jew, she was a Samaritan, and we know that they had very different religious, cultural, ethnic backgrounds. They actually hated each other as races. He was a man. She had been married 5 times and was now living with someone to whom she was not married. So what was the one thing that they had in common? Well, it was water, H2O. He was thirsty. She had come to draw water. His first words to her were, "Give me a drink." That was the connection. And from that, he was able to talk about the living water, that if she drank that, she would never be thirsty again. But it started from a very, very basic, day-to-day human connection that they had in common, which was water. And the point here is, I think, that we just need to pray to find a connection sometimes in our connections. I'm not suggesting to do it in a sort of contrived way, because I think God gives us those words if we pray for them. But what is it from our own experience of a Christian faith that will provide some resonance, some sense of connection with the person that we're talking to. Maybe it's because they, like us, are a new parent, or that they've lost someone close to them, or they've got a favourite travel destination we have in common, or a hobby, or a book we've been reading, or a film you've seen. Now, all of those things might sound a bit day-to-day, ordinary, but it's amazing how often from those things they can spread into conversations about faith. I also find it interesting in the story that the woman herself gradually, through this conversation, comes to realise and respect who Jesus is, as even in this short time, she gets to know him. So her first interaction with him, she refers to him as a Jew. And it's quite a pejorative way that she speaks to him, almost like she's spitting the word. Remember, the Jews and Samaritans literally hated each other. The second and third time she addresses him, she calls him Sir. So she's already showing some respect to him. The fourth time she says he's a prophet. And finally she declares this could be the Christ, the Messiah, the Savior of the world. For those of us as Christians trying to tell our story, I think we can liken it to how J. John, you know, J. John, who's created this series that we're talking about, the evangelist and writer, when he talks about his testimony of how he became a Christian, it was through another Greek Cypriot friend called Andy Economides, I love that name, who was already a Christian. And he basically puts it like this. He said, through the conversations, my friend Andy built a bridge to me and Jesus walked over it. We're not there to force feed Jesus onto people. People don't appreciate being pushed into things. We're there to introduce them to Jesus, giving examples of how he has helped us, how he has brought us a sense of forgiveness and of healing, create a sense of purpose, changed priorities in our life. And I mentioned earlier on as well that another thing I noticed from this passage is that sometimes it's a specific word of knowledge that we get that enables us to make those connections. Now, that might be just knowledge that we have about someone. It might be knowledge that we have about our faith, about the Bible. But sometimes, you know, God will put something in our mind. He will put something in our spirit specifically, if we ask for that, that will help us in those conversations. In this context, Jesus had this word of knowledge about the fact that she'd had 5 marriages before. And it was that that sort of made her think, gosh, you know, this is quite something that he knows that. Sometimes my own experience is, you know, God can give you, particularly as you're sort of praying about this, give you a picture or maybe a word, just something that he wants to bring into the conversation. I think it's a very interesting verse in Philemon where Paul says, I pray that the sharing of your faith may become effective and powerful because of your accurate knowledge of every good thing which is ours in Christ. I pray that sharing of your faith may become effective and powerful because of your accurate knowledge of every good thing which is ours in Christ. So it's as we share, we get an understanding of the knowledge that what God wants to give us and impart to us to then share with somebody else. Now, you may be sitting there today and thinking, this is all very well for you, Alan. You're a Christian. You're able to share these things. But I don't know this Jesus that you're talking about. I have no idea what you're on about. Or even, I just don't have enough experience of God to be able to do that in any event. Well, my heart's desire is that as we have just reflected on this morning and just thought about and listened to the fact that Jesus is the one who is the living water, that that would be something that would touch your heart as well. When J. John decided that he wanted to follow Jesus, his parents were not happy about this at all. And his mum said to him, you've been brainwashed. And J. John's response was this. He said, yes, my brain has been washed. It needed washing. I am pleased that it has been washed, and now it's cleansed and renewed. Jesus says, whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. The water I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing into everlasting life. Just in closing, another story, another testimony. Malcolm Muggeridge, who was a writer and broadcaster famous in another generation, talked about the living water as follows late on in his life. He said this, I may, I suppose, regard myself or pass for being a relatively successful man. People occasionally stare at me in the streets. That's fame. I can fairly easily earn enough to qualify for administration to the higher slopes of the Inland Revenue. That's success. Furnished with money and a little fame, even the elderly, if they care to, may partake of trendy diversions. That's pleasure. It might happen that once in a while something I said or wrote was sufficiently heeded for me to persuade myself that it represented a serious impact on somebody's life. That's fulfillment. But he says, I say to you, and I beg you to believe me, multiply these tiny triumphs by a million, add them all together, and they are nothing, less than nothing, measured against one draught, one drink of that living water that Christ offers to the spiritually thirsty, irrespective of who or what we are. Thanks be to God. Do you want me to pick it up? Are you happy to pick it up now? Do you want to pick it up or do you want me to carry on? Do you want to pick it up now? Yeah, okay. So let's just pray for a moment. I just want to bow our heads. We're going to watch a video, which if you could, want to just get ready, of a song which talks about just coming before God, coming to the altar and drawing from him water, living water that comes from him. I just want us to pray as we're watching that, that God would really stir in our hearts the things he wants to do in us this morning. Maybe that we've never drawn of that water of life, that we don't know what life in all its fullness really means. And there are things that we have got going on that need God's touch this morning. So I just pray, Lord, that you would come to each one of us this morning and touch us as to the things that you want to do in our hearts, the things you want to do in our spirits. For those of us that don't know you, Lord, I pray that you might come close and might help us come to that point of understanding who you are and how you want to help us in our lives. And for those of us that are challenged about wanting to do more in terms of sharing our faith and our stories with those around us, Lord, we just pray your help, your knowledge, your spirit to direct us and help us. We cannot do this in our own strength, in our own ability. We need you so much. And so we pray, Lord, that you would help us too with that. So let's just be quiet as we just watch this video together. If you feel that you want to come forward and just kneel here at the front of the church, somebody can just come alongside and pray with you if that would be helpful to you. But let's just watch this this song, listen to this song now. Thank you.